Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD, Motown-esque Thursday edition of the Triple Option with RBKD. I'm Rod Babers, hanging out with Kevin Dunn and Brad Kellner. You can watch the Triple Option with RBKD. Go to hornfm.com and you can tap into the Twitch stream there. Great job with the Super Freak.
Thanks, man.
We don't play enough Rick James on Motown-esque Thursday. That might be the first time we played him on a Motown-esque Thursday.
Played some Rick James, but
we did. I think we played it on like 420 or something. I think we played maybe Rick James then.
Hey, your request is noted.
Like Mary Jane. No. We don't have to play. I'm just saying this is the first time on a Motown S Thursday I remember Rick James playing. And Rick James doesn't have a ton.
I'm about to say, does he have a ton?
No.
And didn't something come out about him where he actually was canceled for a reason?
Oh, was Rick James canceled? I didn't know.
I don't know. I don't want to say
Rick
something.
Rick James got canceled too?
Well, it may just be allegations.
They tried to cancel Abraham Lincoln, so.
That's true.
Thomas Jefferson. They'll cancel any damn body.
Canceling the American flag now.
They'll cancel anything these days. So if they canceled him, hey. I apologize for bringing him up if he's canceled.
I'm surprised the three of us are still here.
Oh, we definitely have been canceled by somebody.
That's
just
fine.
Not enough people to make it enough of noise
all that
to
matters.
Get us fired. But that might happen too.
I can fix that.
Act appropriately.
Yeah, I know you can.
Act appropriately. All right, let's get to actually we had some sound here. David Pierce, head coach of the Longhorn baseball team, he was on with B and E this morning. Actually, I believe most of it was just E because B is getting ready for the Mullet Open.
Yes.
Are you guys going to the Mullet Open?
I'm going tonight to help set up.
You going tonight?
It's kind of during our show. Well, they start playing around like 11, and then the raffle stuff happens during our show.
Right.
So
Trey's going to be out there.
Trey's going to be out there. He's playing in the Mullet Open, which four in advance to every other team on the course.
Does he play left-handed
or
right-handed? Does it matter?
Whatever he does, he should try the other one.
Do the opposite.
Yeah.
Whatever you do. Yeah. I've never played golf with any of you guys, so.
I'm not good either.
I'm not.
I'm worse than whoever the worst person that you've played with here at the station is.
Wow.
I'm definitely worse than that person.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get back, but
pretty bad.
I never really got in, so.
Exactly.
I'm starting from scratch.
I'm Tiger Hood out there. I have no idea what I'm doing.
Tiger Hood.
Yeah, I feel bad because I hit the shank and hit people's houses and go in people's yards. It's not cool. That's why I stopped going. I'm like, I'm not going out here.
Well, I also feel
nice
bad
slowing
people
pools
down
and stuff.
When the third group's like, hey, can we play through? It's like, all right, I need to go hit balls before I come out here.
Yeah.
I need to take some lessons.
I'm a Top Golf guy. That's what I learned.
Top Golf's fun.
Top Golf is fun.
Yeah.
People are drinking and you just, you know, it's not the serious tone there usually is out of the golf course.
No houses out of Top Golf.
No houses.
No water at Top Golf.
Right.
Boom.
No sand.
Yeah.
All things I struggle with on the real course.
Yeah, you try and hit that guy in the cart because it's fun. He's got a cage around it.
It's true.
I just never can hit him.
You should get extra points for that.
You should.
I could hit him if I tried.
I could hit him if I didn't try. That's the point.
That probably is the best way. Aim at something else. I might hit that guy.
Aim left. I nailed him with my slice.
All right. Let's talk some Texas baseball here, gentlemen. So Coach Pierce was on with Aaron this morning on B&E. I talked about a number of different topics, and I'd encourage you, if you want to hear the whole thing in its entirety, go to hornfm.com and go to the podcast page there, and you can listen to the entire thing. But one question I thought was really intriguing, I asked him about what the messaging would be this week for his team. What's going to be the message for the team? You know, do you change up some things in the routine? Here's what Coach Pierce had to say.
Well, I mean, you can go all the way back to opening weekend, and that's been our motivator. That's been something that we've looked at and said, when we put our head down, minimize the distractions, and just continue to try to get better. And that's the honest opinion. We went out to inter squad on Tuesday, and our goal was to get better. And yesterday we had a good workout. Same thing today. But, I mean, this group is young, but, gosh, they have so much energy. They have this desire to just go compete for each other. They got great grit. Just everything about them is fun. We're not perfect, but they get after it. And so we just try to not change anything, to be honest with you. And if you did a certain thing last week and the week before, continue doing that in your routines. And the one thing I did mention to them is early in the week, you need to take care of all the distractions of tickets and family and people coming into town and, you know, dealing with the piece that sometimes gets in the way of your preparation. So we try to get that knocked out, but they're ready to go.
There you go. Says they're ready to go. Said they're not, they didn't change up anything at all, really. It's not changing up. And then you know what? We talked to Ty Harrington. Mm-hmm. He said the same thing. Said, no, I wouldn't change up a damn thing.
Yeah.
Whatever they're doing, it's working. I just really kind of keep exactly what they're doing in place and try to stay on schedule as much as possible.
That's what you got to do. Keep everything in place. Whatever you're doing with fielding and hitting, I would have all year tried to work on base running, and some of that can be situational stuff that you work at, or stuff that you just kind of go over. You can go over that on a chalkboard and say, hey, here are some things that we haven't done well all year. It's the only thing if you're nitpicking on this team, and it's been a problem all year, but it hadn't been a problem that didn't stop them from being a number two national seed. And even when it reared its head this weekend, it was no worries at all.
I love how they're kind of going with the Texas independence bit. You know how the war for Texas independence, we would say, remember the Alamo, mm-hmm. remember Goliad.
Right.
It feels like this baseball team is chanting, remember Arlington.
Yeah.
Because they've talked about, we've heard it from David Pierce, we've heard it from assistant coaches, we've heard it from the players all year long. They keep harping back to that opening weekend in Arlington as being a motivator for this team. And it's worked because they've been fantastic. They've been one of the best teams, maybe the best team in the country since that opening weekend disaster in Arlington. So I kind of love that. That feels like a battle cry for this team. It was a low moment, but they've used it as a positive, and they're in a really, really good spot, and they're two wins away from Omaha.
Rod, you had mentioned this. I'll give you some credit. You had said throughout the year, you said, I think they're looking back on that. And just as a former athlete, that's something that can drive you. That weekend, as bad as it felt at the time, was a godsend for this team, and has been a godsend for them all year long, because the biggest thing with especially college athletes, but pro athletes too, is that as you're going through these cycles of up and down, when you're playing really well, it's just human nature to relax a little bit and to think that you're there. Even when they're playing well and on a 14-16 game, whatever it was, win streak, they still had that the whole time to look at.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I always say it's motivational currency. You know, Michael Jordan was great at it, right? You keep these little bits of
petty
motivation,
grievances,
whatever it may be, right? You slights, whatever. You kind of, you keep them, you internalize them, and then later on you literally can spend them when you need them as motivational currency. That's what they've used that 0-3 start with. And it wasn't just that they started 0-3. Hey, everybody understands losing in sports. It's something everybody's got to deal with. But when you lose in humiliating, embarrassing fashion, and then you got to start all over from scratch, and you go back to working harder than you ever did because you believe, man, I didn't work hard enough. What I thought was hard work, that wasn't hard enough. I got to double and triple my efforts. I got to put in more time into batting cages. I got to spend more time fielding. Everybody on the team did that because nobody really excelled. And I think it really did. It brought them all kind of down earth. It was a humility factor there. But now that they have achieved and they believe they're the best team in baseball, they still can go back to that moment and go, guys, remember that. Like, remember that. You're talking about, remember the 0-3. Remember the Alamo, if you will. Remember where we came from. We can always play that bad. Like, that's what we're capable of. We can play that bad.
Yep.
We also can be the best team in the country. If we don't focus, and if we don't get, if we're not the best version of ourselves, and we don't prepare like we're supposed to, we could end up like that team. Mm-hmm. Remember that team?
Yeah.
We remember that team? Remember that emotion? Remember how bad you felt? And that's probably a lot of it was Snowvit. Remember coming out of Snowvit? But they don't talk about that because that's not really a part of it, and that shouldn't be the part of the narrative. It was about them and how they lacked the focus at that time to compete at the highest level. Now they're doing it. There's no doubt about it. It is used. I don't know to what extent, but it's definitely used as a motivational factor.
Just like the pandemic, guys. We talked about it with Shaka. It actually benefited some people. It's one of the few things with Snowvid we can look back at. That and the relationship with Carl.
Carl the raccoon.
The OG raccoon.
There were a couple
good things that came out of it. That's true. But that had to play into it a little bit.
Yep.
I can tell you one good thing that did not come out of Snowvid. It's the third floor bathroom incident.
No.
That was not good.
We're allowed to mention that?
I think if we refer to it as that, we can.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. As long as we don't go into detail.
I just can't give as many details as I once gave.
Podcast all the way back to Snowvid, guys. Go podcast all the way back.
It's not there.
No, we took it down.
It's done. It's gone.
So sad.
Disappeared. I was talking with Dave earlier. And Dave said, have you smelled the men's bathroom on the fourth floor?
Wow.
And there's just a urinal that's stopped up.
I saw that yesterday.
Yeah. Man, this thing is turning into a Texaco in Victoria in August pretty quickly.
Oh, no.
It does not smell good.
What do they do to the urinals to have them stop up?
They're working on
urinals.
They found out, someone's got to dig in there.
Like, I'm saying, like, how does it get stopped up? It's a urinal.
Because you know why? Because I saw it a couple of days ago.
Well, who's putting stuff in there?
Gum.
Oh, see?
Oh. That's better than what I thought it was.
We're living in a society.
Come on.
There's a trash can right
trash
behind
can
you.
Right behind Where are we at in society today?
Lazy ass?
Come on.
It wasn't a deuce. I mean, around here, you would assume it to be a crap.
You're right. It wasn't a deuce.
So we'll take it.
Thank God.
Transitioning back to Texas baseball.
Yeah.
How did we get there?
I don't know. What about the weekend rotation? So last weekend in the Austin Regional, David Pierce switched things up a little bit. Tristan Stevens started game one. Then you went to Ty Madden and then Pete Hansen for the closer against Fairfield. But, of course, that was different than what this team did during the regular season. What are Coach Pierce's plans for the starting pitching rotation this weekend?
We're in that process. You'd probably most likely go back to our traditional three-game series with Madden, Stevens, and Hansen. And that's what's worked for us. There was a little change in the regional for other reasons and different variables, but most likely that's what we'll do. We'll just double-check everything and probably make a decision this afternoon.
So that was Coach Pierce this morning. I have not heard anything about a decision. We are in this afternoon. KD, your thoughts? Are you cool with the decision to go back to Ty Madden for game one?
I'm cool with it, and there's really less thought that goes into it, right? So when you're setting up your pitching for a regional with three other teams, well, you're looking at three other lineups. You're only facing one team in this thing, so it really doesn't matter how you play it out. Whoever feels comfortable, as long as they're on good rest and ready to go, and they're going to be all over that. So you want to go back to Ty Madden being your one, then Tristan Stevens. That's the beauty, too, of Texas having three guys that would be aces on most staffs.
Yep.
Question, KD.
Shoot.
Because I think over the last month, you've been a little bit higher on Pete Hansen than Tristan Stevens.
And Ty Madden.
And Ty Madden. God forbid Texas loses game one on Saturday. If you're David Pierce, do you go with Pete Hansen in a must-win game two instead of Tristan Stevens, or do you stick with your guns, you dance with who brung you, and stick with your normal regular season rotation and trot out Stevens?
Good question. If Stevens would not have been as consistent of a strike thrower and just as efficient as he's been with that sinker-slider combo, then I would really look at it. But you got to win at that point two games anyway, and this is this is the type of program that if they lose in two or lose in 15 innings in three, you lost, and you're not going to Omaha. Some people may remember it, but so I stick with it. I stick with Stevens because there's not that much of a difference, and he's been so damn good.
He has been, and yeah, he was magnificent in the regional opener against Southern.
And you guys won't be bitching about him. This will be Saturday, Sunday, Monday, I believe, is the schedule. Sunday, you guys won't be complaining because it's not going to keep you from doing a show.
No, both games.
You guys came on and were killing the guy for working quickly.
He works fast.
Oh, you work too.
Off the air, I was. Big difference.
Well, works fast, now man. I just put it on the air.
Yeah, appreciate that.
So no difference.
Yeah, appreciate that.
You know, Kendall Rogers?
Yeah.
He was on, like, the tower, and he said the same thing. He said, I'm hoping that I come in town, I get to see the Longhorns with Tristan Stevens on the mound, then I can make dinner on time.
Like he is a...
Everybody knows that guy looks fast.
Stevens is a play-by-play guy's dream. You can hear the play-by-play guys that have done too much of it, and they just want to get out, and that's like... ends up becoming half of the narrative of what they're talking about. It's like, all right, you want to get out of here quickly. He'll get you out of there quickly.
The other teams that were a part of the Austin Regional last weekend were not helping the broadcasters because there were a lot of base on balls last week.
Yeah, the Fairfield guys.
Texas was the beneficiary of that. We'll get to David Pierce talking about that here in a second. But, KD, if you're going to be out at the ballpark this weekend and you need a beer to drink, what should you go with?
You should go with the official beer for the University of Texas, and that would be Miller Lite. It's going to be hot out there, and you're going to need an ice cold one, maybe a couple of those. And Miller Lite's a perfect way to go. Start with taste. That's what separates Miller Lite from its competitors and has for a long time. But if you're going to be out there and you do want to keep it light, 96 calories is a good way to do it. Only one more calorie than Ultra. So if you've had Miller Lite, you've had Ultra, and you're only getting one more calorie, hey, everyone's different. Taste is subjective. But to me, that's a pretty easy one. So go with the official beer for the University of Texas. That is Miller Lite. Get out there to left field or wherever you're going to be tailgating, or maybe you're watching it at home, and pick up a case, 12-pack, whatever you're looking for. Just please do it responsibly. It is the best light beer out there. It's Miller Lite.
All right, guys, back to Texas baseball and back to the Super Regional coming up this weekend. South Florida did not have a great regular season. Matter of fact, they were under 500 yep. going into their conference tournament, and they only made it to the NCAA tournament because they won their conference mm-hmm. tournament, and they got their automatic bid by winning the AAC, the American Athletic Conference. Despite the struggles in the regular season, South Florida's been red hot. Of course, they won the Gainesville Regional. They beat Florida. They crushed Miami. Then they beat South Alabama to get here. They've been playing their best baseball as of late, despite the bad regular season that the Bulls had. Coach Pierce saying that we shouldn't overlook the South Florida team.
You can take out their numbers. You can take out their record. They're playing very well. They're pitching much better on the back end of this last couple of weeks, and they have all season, and they're playing with a great deal of confidence with nothing to lose coming to the dish. I think they went into the Gainesville Regional with, you know, hey, we're in. Let's go enjoy this regional. And it's interesting when you watch that happen, how players settle down and just, you know, allow themselves to go play without creating tension. And so they're on house money right now. So they're going to come in here free and easy, loose, and try to upset us, and rightfully so. But our team will be ready for them, and we're confident as well.
That's a guy who's coached a lot of baseball, and everything he said is exactly right. That's not coach speak. There's a lot to that, and that plays to a lot of different sports, too, where if you don't have pressure on you and there are no expectations, mm-hmm. Rod, you know this, it makes it easier for you to go out there and just let it go. What's the worst can happen? Everything Or the worst that can happen is what everyone thinks is going to happen and what probably should happen, which is that you're going to lose in two. These guys have scholarships too. And as I've talked about, there are three states, especially in the sport of baseball, that you can get a mid-major and they've just got some talented guys. It's California, it's Texas, and it's Florida. They got nothing to lose. All the pressure is on Texas.
Tom Hartman's teams in bowl games.
Wow. Yeah, you're right. They just let it go. We'd given up on them because we had watched them for the year.
And that's when they're like, oh, we got nothing to lose.
Utah had all the pressure.
They just play. There you go. So I agree with you 100%. Yeah. I think some of those teams, they really get that the kind of free-willing attitude where, hey, man, we're just out here playing for the fun of the game.
Yeah.
And it is kind of a house money mentality, and you can be really dangerous in that situation because they got hot at the perfect time.
Yeah.
They really are one of the hottest teams in the tournament right now.
Yeah, despite all of that, Texas can't lose this series, guys.
No,
what we're saying. All the pressure is on Texas. But, yeah, they've got no excuse to lose this thing.
Yeah. What about the atmosphere at the dish?
It's going to be rocking.
It was awesome last weekend, especially on Saturday night for that Arizona State game. You want to talk about an electric factory. That's what the dish was. And I think this weekend it'll be pretty crazy, too. Here's mm-hmm. Coach Pierce talking about the atmosphere last weekend and also what he expects for the crowd this weekend.
You're right. I can go back to 2018 when Cody hit the home run against the Aggies in the first inning of the regional.
Yes.
And the place exploded. And then it continued like that throughout the regional. You could feel that against Arizona State. I mean, it was as loud as I've ever heard it, even in the super regional of Tennessee Tech. But it's exciting. I think we have a fan base now that we have some really older fans that have been around forever, but you're starting to see a lot more young people, and it's exciting to see the mixture. We've got some excitement going out in left field, but you can start seeing a little bit of getting on the other team and having some fun with it. So the atmosphere was electric last week. I think it'll be even more so this week.
Yeah. It will be. As the kids say, KD, it's going to be lit.
It's going to be lit. I thought you were going to say hopping. No, it's going to be lit.
No, the kids don't say that anymore.
Yeah, I don't think we even said it. Well, we probably did maybe early on. But I've said for a little while, and this had kind of gone away. Certainly when I was doing play-by-play, I would look at Zeke occasionally and just like, what happened to this place? And some of that can be that they're not winning. But for me, my whole life, the best atmospheres for Texas sports. I mean, we just watched 1990 Houston. And that's the loudest I've ever heard Texas Memorial Stadium at that point. That place was lit. Irwin Center, Arkansas is coming in. It actually was lit and jumping. The Greg for volleyball is awesome. When baseball has the type of atmosphere they did on Saturday, there's nothing better on campus.
Yeah.
Some of that's getting lubed up, too.
That helps.
It does. It just does.
No, it does. It helps a lot. And the people, I mean, that. And I will say, I forgot the name of the actual Twitter, like the Twitter handle of it. But there is a place where you can go ask questions, where fans can go ask questions about what drinks and stuff they can get, and mm-hmm. where like the they can get drinks and where they get food, all that kind of stuff, the concessions and all that kind of stuff. So I'm with you 100%. The way they have set it up allows for the fans to go out there, not only enjoy the experience, but also to be a factor in the game. And you brought this up, KD. I mean, I don't know exactly how often South Florida has played in front of a crowd like they're going to play in front of at UFCU, but their best players, their best hitters are freshmen, their best mm-hmm. pitchers are freshmen. Jack Josiak, I believe, and Carmine Lane, best hitter.
Oh, it can affect them.
It can affect them.
It did this last week.
It's got to affect them, because even in high school, they never seen anything like that before.
In pandemic this year, too.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. In a pandemic.
So even if they went to Mississippi State, which they didn't, but if they played Florida,
it wasn't the same.
It wasn't the same.
Yeah. So I think, I think the crowd's going to play a huge factor in the game.
All right, we're going to continue a little baseball talk. We got a potpourri coming up in One and Done. Something that play-by-play guys always say that I heard over the weekend, and it just drives me crazy. I'll get the guys' thoughts on that. Plus, the landscape in college coaching continuing to change in college baseball. One of the legends about to go to a legendary program.
Like that five-star recruit at Kentucky, he's been here, and he's going to stay here. It's One and Done time. Here's Kevin Dunn.
One and Done time. Talked about the hire of Mike White, softball coach. Let's make a little, this is going to be a real big potpourri, because I'm going to add one on here. Oklahoma just won another national championship in softball, and I'm not sure how many that is for them, but this is one of those where you take over a job. This would have been like the equivalent of Kirby Smart taking over Georgia, right? There is a lot of stuff in front of you, or a lot of things going for you with resources and the type of program you have, and you're a good coach. But now you know that, well, the top dog, all we got to do is get over that person in our conference. So if you get over them in your conference and you're the best program in the conference, which Texas has a little ways to go, then you're going to be competing for national championships. Can we say congrats to OU?
No.
No, I didn't think
no,
so.
No, we don't do that.
Very quickly, I expected to get that reaction. So I have high hopes for Mike White. Watched a ton of college baseball over the weekend. I mean a ton, and had laptop rolling and everything. And there were some really good announcers out there. We're lucky to have one here in Craig Way, who's doing radio calls. And I don't know if Craig's done this, so Craig, if you have, this is certainly not a shot at you. But a couple of the games lasted really long. And specifically, there was one that was getting close to midnight. And this play-by-play guy just kept hammering it. It's like the nerdiest joke. It's pretty much the equivalent of the guy who loves to talk to someone December 30th and then say, I'll see you next year! Ah! Yeah, I know. I get it. Okay, well, we're going to talk next year. I'll see you next year. How old? You're in your 30s?
Come on, man.
No, it's lame.
BK likes that joke.
Rod,
BK likes dad jokes.
Is it lame?
BK likes dad jokes.
Okay, but even some dad jokes. He had two good ones yesterday. Two out of three ain't bad.
No.
It was a trio you threw out there. But that, like, and it's one thing if you maybe mention it quickly, but just to continue to hammer it. So this one you hear a lot. You hear a bunch. I don't know what it is about sports writers and sports broadcasters. I mean, heck, it's not just play-by-play guys, but it's also guys like us that are just on the radio. Cut it out with the, it's actually not going to be tonight. It's going to be, or tomorrow, it's going to be today. And so they were going through, there was maybe an if necessary game that was going to be played between Georgia Tech and Vanderbilt. And the play-by-play guy, one, you could tell he was miserable doing that. I feel you there, Mike Cousins. I've been there.
Whose cousin?
Mike Cousins.
Mike's cousin.
Yeah, me, that guy. But as they're approaching, for the next 15 minutes, he kept on saying, now, if Georgia Tech wins this game, we will have a game. Well, and it won't even be tomorrow. It'll actually be today, because it'll be midnight. Wow. Sounds like Bill Hicks did some mushrooms and some good writing. Stop it. Cut it out. It just gets old, and you hear it over and over. What is it about the genes that we have doing this job? Are we just that corny and that lame?
Yeah.
Okay. Just checking.
Well, no, just
kidding. Confirming.
That's a long time.
Just confirming.
That's a long time to be talking.
Just confirming.
Right?
I understand that.
That's what I'm saying. It's a long time.
I completely understand that. Some people like to do it and some people don't.
And baseball's a really slow sport. Like, it's not always action to describe.
Have more material. Or here's something else that I used to like to do.
Go ahead. Jim Rome it?
I'm doing it right now.
Does Jim Rome it?
Lay out.
Wow.
Go ahead and hear some.
Dead air?
Popcorn, peanuts. Here we go.
That's true. You do get the boom mic, so you get all the background.
Just, if you're going to say that.
That's a good point.
Don't say anything at all. It's really lame, and don't say it 11 times in 5 minutes. And then once you hit that mark, it could be a bases loaded 2-2. By the way, that will actually be today and not tomorrow because we just hit a midnight on the East Coast. I'm not sure if any of y'all know how time works, but I really get a kick out of this. And by the way, you never want to talk to me from December 15th on because I'm going to give you, see you next year!
Oh, man, you can do it once per broadcast.
So stupid.
You can't do it 11 times.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, that's excessive.
It's so stupid.
It's low-hanging fruit. We all like fruit, and we want the fruit that's easier to get.
Stop it. No, climb.
No way.
Climb the tree.
I'm cool with it.
Climb the tree.
I didn't hear how often Mike's cousin said it during his broadcast.
I heard it multiple times this week.
If it happens once per game, it's okay.
Oh, should be allowed once per game. I agree with BK on this.
Yeah.
No. Once per game, it's good.
Either you should be fired like that sideline guy we played yesterday.
Oh, Sergio, when
Sergio
I dip, you dip,
yeah,
we dip.
Like, just
hating on Sergio.
Having the time of his life.
just find something else to do. All right, so that was just a pet peeve of mine. Had to throw that out there.
Rant.
Yeah, it was
Katie's
a rant.
Katie's rant of the day is what this turned out to be.
Pretty much it was. let's talk some college baseball here, because I talked about Schlossnagel going to Texas A&M. Do not hire too low. Texas, David Pierce will find a way to lock that guy up. It's not about money, but he is serious about coaching. And one of the things that I love about him is the story of he's with the Yankees and got the connection with David Pierce and texted him, and Pierce kind of let it play out and said, all right, let's talk in 10 days. And it was 10 days, 11 days, whatever it was. A day before that, Tulo got in touch with him and said, no, you know, I can't wait to talk tomorrow. I'm excited about that. That shows you that a guy who's earned $100 million-plus in his career, he doesn't have to do anything. So the question is not your baseball knowledge. The question isn't what can you bring to the table. The question is, how invested are you really going to be in this? And Tulo has proven that. Even beyond that original story that I heard, I thought, okay, this guy wants to be there. This guy's made a huge impact. And, Rod, you were saying my boy Zeke, Greg Swindell.
Yeah, he was on B&E.
Was on B&E and kind of backed that up a little bit.
He said the same thing, basically.
That I've been saying all year to you.
Yeah, I would encourage anybody who's interested, and you should be, to go back and podcast. B&E, the whole show, they actually had a lot of good guests on, too. But they had Greg Swindell on there, and he said kind of same thing that KD's been saying. He said behind the scenes, Troy Tulowitzki has been big for this group. He's been huge for him. And he's actually said his ability to communicate. Because he talked about his time as a coach. And
he was on the 05 National Championship team.
Yes, and he said that group was really talented, and I got a chance to really talk to them and help the guys out. But he said from what he's observed that Tulo's a better communicator of the game to the young guys out there, and the way that he translates what he knows to them has been it's really been something you really can't quantify. How valuable it's been for the guys. Almost invaluable.
I don't mean this to take away from Tulo, and I don't know how this would be taking away from Tulo, but it's easier to communicate with guys when you're a 5-time All-Star and you've had a ton of success at the highest level.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so I'm sure Tulo's great at communicating himself, and he's figured out a way to be a great coach. But, man, all of these guys probably want to play on Sundays. Oh, you can't use that for baseball.
Yeah, what do you play on Sundays?
I guess they already do play on Sundays.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Well, they want to play on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, too.
Right.
They want to play in the big leagues. Yeah. No better guy to learn from than a guy who's been very, very successful in the big leagues.
Excellent point. You see all these guys, and I've mentioned this all year, when they've got shots of the dugout talking to him. Mike Antico, he loves talking to him. And I can just see the smile on his face as he's got his helmet on, and maybe he's in the hole or fourth up and is chatting with them. All those guys are picking his brain. And also, apparently, Trey Faltini follows him around like a puppy. And
smart.
Very smart. Yeah. If you are a shortstop, especially with his defensive skills, all he's got to do is continue to improve offensively, and the scouts are going to jump all over him. But it also brings something else up. So I mentioned that obviously Schlossnagel going to TCU. Rice is looking for a coach, and it looks like that they're going to go ahead and find their guy. Sean Allen, who's done a really good job here at Texas as an assistant, was up for that job. And with his Houston connections, mm-hmm. I thought that they should really look at him. But they're going to go with a guy to when Rice became legitimate. Now, I remember Rice coming here for the 95 Southwest Conference Tournament. They had Lance Berkman, who begged to come to Texas, wanted to come to Texas. His dad played here, but Texas didn't give him a ride.
We wanted him to play defensive back, I heard. Is that true?
Well done, thanks, sir. Very well done. But they also had a guy that I don't think Texas was in on, but we all knew his dad from his batting stance. And if you were our age, Rod, and especially where you were from, Jose Cruz. Jose Cruz Jr. is still one of the best college hitters I've ever seen in my life. Jose Cruz Jr. could flat out rake at Rice. And he, as a player, turned Rice in from this nerdy school that we knew about into a baseball power, which they would be really for the next 15, 20 years. That was the group that started it. They hired Jose Cruz Jr. And Rod, I'm seeing a lot more major league players, which he played in the league for a long time, come back. My question is not about, do you know baseball? What can you impart? I know that's there. As a head coach, it can be about organizational stuff with 11.7 scholarships, mm-hmm. building a program,
hiring other coaches.
And then also, how invested are you going to be in that? Especially if you're set for life, I'm not going to blame you. If you want to be in Hawaii 4 months out of the year,
yeah,
I get you. I would if I had your bank account. So I totally get you. But if you're going to take it, how invested are you? Lance Berkman, I don't know if you saw this a week or two ago, got the head job at Houston Baptist. Mm. So we're seeing some of these pro guys come in. I'll tell you right now, just from the year that I've seen and from what I've heard about Tulo and how invested he is, Troy Tulowitzki's a future head coach. Mm. And I think it could be sooner rather than later. It's kind of interesting seeing these Major League Baseball guys that really want to come back. And I've talked about how the biggest issue, you guys have said, well, how does the NBA and college basketball at least try and meet in the middle and at least try and work together? You got to talk. Mm-hmm. Major League Baseball and college baseball had the worst relationship. They didn't talk. Most bad relationships are built on a lack of communication.
Yeah.
And they didn't talk when I was a kid. The fact that that is flipped and there seems to be a lot more overlapping, mm-hmm. and it seems to be a much more copacetic relationship, and the big league guys are coming back and wanting to really get involved in college baseball, that says a lot. This year alone, Oklahoma State had Matt Holliday, who was on the staff, Robin Ventura, who was on the staff. They had, wow. All of a sudden you get big leaguers like that. It changes. This is going to be interesting how all this plays out.
It's a nice movement going on. Yeah. And Tulo, he's one of those guys. He's not concerned about the money. I mean, he's made
tons of money and set for life.
He's doing this because he has a genuine love for teaching the game and wants to. So
he's still in his 30s. He doesn't want to retire yet.
He probably won't be at Texas long, unfortunately. Volunteering.
Yeah, I know, which is why you got to do everything you can. I know it's tough.
You're talking about,
right?
You know what I'm saying?
Well, like, if he's a good guy, he'll keep volunteering.
No. if he doesn't need the money.
He doesn't need the money.
Well, now this is a test.
Oh, great. Look, BK's going to set this up. Watch.
Oh, no.
I'm putting it on Tulo here.
Don't disrespect Tulo. Gonna make him leave sooner.
I mean, if he's a good guy, he's going to stay here as the volunteer assistant forever. If he cares about the community, he's going to continue volunteering because he doesn't need the money, and there are other people who need the money more than he does.
Well, he wants to be a student athlete again, then?
Just a volunteer. Right.
If he played here,
it's just a character test. That's it. If Tulo leaves, then he's not not a great guy.
Hey, he volunteered for a year, and if Texas ends up winning the national title as a result of some of his efforts, well done.
I'll be happy with it, but I want more than one national title.
Tulo, you're a great guy. Unless you join Schloss at A&M, then I may take BK's side there. One other thing on the coaching stuff. So Kevin O'Sullivan, the Florida coach that was rumored to be going to LSU, is not. He pulled his name out of the hat. And here's the name, the leading candidate, which is crazy. Pat Casey at Oregon State, who had retired. I thought he was going to be out of the game. I mean, the fact that you turn Oregon State into what he did, ended up, I believe, winning three national championships because he had the back-to-back and then played in one with Adley Rushman, and I think they won that.
They beat Arkansas.
Yeah, they beat Arkansas. You're right. So he won three at Oregon State.
Yeah.
You go to LSU, and they're going to let you do pretty much anything you can there. then that could really be two powerhouses meeting up. Interesting stuff. O'Sullivan not going there. Schloss not going there. Pat Casey coming back into play.
It's interesting because Palmieri, LSU's current coach, is retiring, and he's 63. And then the guy they're about to bring in is 62, and he's already retired once.
Right.
And you think you try to get younger to avoid a retirement coming in the not-too-distant future, but apparently that's the direction LSU is going.
Yeah, they want to win, and I could tell that quickly. I mean, I saw Ben McDonald talking about the 89 team, and he said, you know, no one knew who we are. We were irrelevant. We were just, you know, LSU fans will make it seem like they were winning championships in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. They weren't. The fact that they microwaved that dynasty so quickly And there are some things in there with shaven bats and roids and things that obviously Burtman's teams were doing. So it wasn't all on the up and up, but it was pretty damn impressive how quickly they got all that done. And my point is they want to win and want to win now. They're going to spend the money and they're going to do anything they can, whether the guy's 62 or not, to get that done. It could be short term, like you're saying. They don't care.
How about Pat Casey and Kim Mulkey in the same offseason for LSU?
Oh, man. And Ed O's at that dinner, too.
Yeah.
At least for a year.
Yeah, I was about to say, they'll bring in somebody way better than him.
Right. Oh, Urban?
Oh, man.
To where? The LSU?
Next year?
Interesting.
I mean, look, LSU
is he gonna
will
have
pay
a
the money.
Health condition that quickly? With the Jacksonville Jaguars?
It obviously wouldn't be next year. But, I mean, we'll see how long Urban lasts.
Ed lasts.
Yeah.
Urban we'll see how long outlasts Ed.
Oh, yeah. With Jacksonville? Yeah, he does.
He'll outlast Ed.
Hey, maybe they'll go after Tom Herman again. <That's funny>. Good stuff. What Ed done.
Hey, we won that battle.
Yeah. Sure, we did.
Oh, yeah, we did. We thought we won that one, didn't we? All right.
There's one and done.
It's like, man, I got her to go on a date with me. 3 years later, you run into the guy. You won that.
It's the triple option with RBKD. We have Off the Record coming up next. Did Scottie Pippen really say this about Michael Jordan and the Bulls dynasty? Next.
D.D. Mangudu,
once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get a brain bag comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. And thing sucks.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. Time for another edition of Off the Record. And this one is kind of strange. So my man Scottie Pippen, known as No Tippin' Pippen in some circles, he's telling his side of the Bulls dynastic run. Remember, of course, we had the Last Dance documentary. Was that a couple of years ago or just last year?
It was during the pandemic.
I know. COVID just makes everything seem like
feels like it.
Feels like it. So during the pandemic, we all watched Last Dance. It was great. It was riveting. So now Scottie Pippen wants to tell his side of things. He's got a tell-all memoir coming out called Unguarded, coming out this November. And in the description of the book, Pippen appears to take some shots at the GOAT.
Which
gentlemen.
He has. I mean, he honestly, and I'm sure some of that is either true or true to him, but like he's seemed to be bitter against Michael for years now.
Yeah, it would seem that way. The description of the book says, simply put, without Pippen, there are no championship banners, let alone six, hanging from the United Center rafters. There is no Last Dance documentary. It said, there's no Michael Jordan as we know him. The 1990 Chicago Bulls teams would not exist as we know them.
I think there's a lot to that.
I mean, you could argue that.
Pippen was that good and that underrated.
Pippen details how he cringed at being labeled Jordan's sidekick.
Yeah.
And discusses how he could have and should have received more respect from the Bulls management and the media. He discusses what it was like dealing with Jordan on a day-to-day basis while serving as the, quote, the real leader within the Bulls locker room. Real leader.
I think there's, honestly, I mean, maybe the real leader stuff is a little too much, because the real leader at the end of the day, whether it was through fear or I'm sure dealing with Michael day to day, as I've talked about, would have been a pain in the ass. And Michael's Michael. But the real leader was obviously Michael. But Pippen probably was the nice guy to some of those guys when they're having to deal with Jordan. And everything else he said there, I agree with. I mean, I was saying it at the time. Pippen's underrated as hell.
Well, he was the sidekick, though.
He was a sidekick. I know. He's a sidekick to the best ever.
Right.
So that can still mean that you're a top 25 player.
He's Robin. He's like Batman is the greatest comic book hero of all time, and everybody knows Robin as his sidekick. Literally, that's the analogy everybody throws out there.
Well, Batman can't be better than Superman when Superman has powers like that, right?
But Batman's probably more popular than Superman as a comic book star because he has more villains.
Yeah, who more, more likes on Facebook, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the movies are better, too.
The
movies are better.
Yeah. But he's just a guy, right?
Yeah, he's a billionaire that is cool, which makes him even cooler to me.
But Superman can do, he's got That's X-ray vision.
The same reason
and...
that Bruce Willis is the greatest action movie hero.
Wow, you're coming out with some
takes Bruce Willis, really, it's the guy, it's Die Hard, his character in Die Hard.
I would say Bruce Willis is
John
the greatest.
McClane?
John McClane is the greatest because he's not a soup, he's not some spy, and he's not trained to be an assassin. He's just a cop with a wife that hates him and kids that are annoying, and he just saves the day every damn time. That he's the Batman of action movie heroes, just a regular old guy.
Yeah, I'd also say he's the best Christmas movie hero of all time.
Oh, here we go.
Bruce Willis.
Wow.
Yeah, technically, I guess you could throw that out there.
Yeah.
It does have it is around Christmas
it's
time.
A Christmas movie, so.
You wonder why we're divided as a society when we turn stuff like that into division. Is it a Christmas movie? Is it not?
Remember, Pippen did not. You brought this up, KD. He did not like the way he was portrayed in the Last Dance documentary.
Can see that.
He said, quote, "I don't think it was that accurate in terms of really defining what was accomplished in one of the greatest eras of basketball, but also by two of the greatest players, and one could even put aside and say the greatest team of all time." So he didn't like the Last Dance documentary.
That kind of gets back to my. I mean, I just wish Scottie could have some peace in. And at the time, I mean, the Bulls management obviously ridiculously underpaid him, and I'm sure that's still a lot of it. But it just hurts me as someone who loved those teams and actually wore my Scottie Pippen jersey more than my MJ jersey because everyone had the MJ jersey. Mm. I had to prove that I was a real Bulls fan.
Yeah.
So that's also why I had a Craig Hodges jersey. But that's, you know.
Yeah. I was going to say, wearing a Scottie Pippen jersey doesn't prove that you're a real Bulls fan.
It didn't. It did in 89 and 90.
Yeah, because everybody had MJ.
And that's when I got it. So, yeah, I mean, it would have. But you're right. By the time you got to, like, 92, 93, it's like, all right, man, you either got a Judd Bushler jersey or we're not, you know. I'm thinking you're just a jump on guy.
Yeah, what about Steve Kerr?
Yeah, Steve Kerr.
B.J. Armstrong.
Yeah, you're not a real fan.
So, I don't know. I wish he could, I just wish him peace, and it doesn't feel like he's got a lot when he looks back on it.
Some serious envy and jealousy from Scottie Pippen. I mean, he deserves a lot of credit. He deserves a ton of credit, and he's right. They don't have that dynasty without him, but he's still Michael Jordan's sidekick. Michael Jordan was still the leader of that team. He was still the best player on that team by far. Scottie Pippen, a top 50 player of all time, but he's just wrong. Saying we're wrong by saying he was the sidekick.
Yeah.
It's just inaccurate.
You know what's really sad about Scottie Pippen's legacy? Larsa Pippen. Out here just banging it out with all these athletes.
That's probably
guys
why
he's
so
in the league
right
that
now.
He knows. That's why he's upset. His wife is banging current athletes in the NBA right now.
She just seems to be the most horrible person in the entire world.
Yeah. I mean, how many dudes has she banged it out with that have definitely hang out in circles that Pippen has frequented himself?
And look, I don't know what
NBA players.
That's true. I don't know what he did to her, and he may not.
That's true.
May not have been the best husband. The guy I feel bad for is her son, who's a player in college, who's had to say, "Mom, will you please stop doing that?"
Yeah, you got to stop doing
not
that.
Not just the banging out. You don't need to put it on social media.
Yeah, that's got to be tough for a 20-year-old kid.
Kidding me?
To answer those questions.
Yeah.
You think what Zach Wilson's going through now is bad?
Yeah.
She's trying to be a reality TV star, so that's like her thing is to be out in the world and be seen on social media and be an influencer because she's like filming a reality show right now. So she's accomplishing her goal, but I agree with you guys. It's like, well, your son and is she still married to Scottie?
I don't think so.
Like, why did she used to change her name back then?
Yeah.
If I'm Scottie Pippen, I'd be like,
she wants the clout.
You changed the name back. Yeah, she wants the clout.
Yeah.
She wants to be Larsa Pippen banging it out with all the crew.
You might
didn't
not.
Didn't she get it on with, what's his name? Tristan Thompson.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think so.
Yeah, her and Tristan had something going on, too, back in the day.
Yeah, you might not love everything about your mother, but be thankful your mother is not Larsa Pippen.
Good point.
Could be way worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Mm. Oh, this dating history is crazy.
Larsa?
Beasley, Future.
Yeah, Future. Well, y'all remember the story with Future, like, right?
I don't.
Yeah, because Scotty didn't talk to him when he was a kid.
Yeah, when Future was a kid, he asked for Scottie Pippen's autograph, and Scottie Pippen didn't give it to him. He blew him off. And then Future,
I'm gonna
says
bang your wife.
He made a vow to himself at that point that he was gonna bang Scottie Pippen's wife, and sure enough, he did.
No way.
Yeah.
That cannot be true.
No, no, that's
that cannot be
if
true.
If I knew that story, there's something
to it.
I
know it's true, but I'm hoping that is not. If that's actually true, that's,
I'm hoping it is true.
I'm hoping it's true too.
That's awesome.
Like Ricky Henderson and John Olerud. I'm gonna believe it's true.
You don't wonder why this man is bitter. You wonder why he's bitter. Yeah. Like, these are the kind of stories you don't.
Yeah, it's his fault. Sign the autograph.
Sign the autograph. Don't blow the kid off.
And he's no Tippin' Pippin. So yeah. It also wasn't. Right. Tipping really well, even though he had some money. He might have brought this on himself.
Yeah, he sucks too. You know what? He's not a great person either,
Scotty,
it sounds like.
I spent a lot of my summers, every summer I'd go up to Chicago, I'd spend a lot of time up there. And I remember my aunt, who was definitely in the restaurant scene at that point, was like, oh, that's the rep with him. Like with
no
waiters. No tipping.
Dude, she's almost 50.
Yeah.
Dude, she's like 40. She's like 46.
Well, a lot of her is like 5 or 6 years old.
To be fair.
Yeah.
Look at Rod job. Going down the Larsa Pippen rabbit hole.
Eric Moreland. I mean, she's hole. Dated a lot. That's
Future.
Well done. Let's end it on a high note, gentlemen. There you go.
I want me some glory hole.
End it on a high note.
Unreal. There is off the record. Scottie Pippen still bitter towards Michael Jordan and mad about The Last Dance and the way he was portrayed in that 10-part docu-series. It's the Triple Option with RBKD. More Texas football talk when we return. Oh, boy, it's never been easier to negatively recruit against Texas. And we've got another example of that up next.